Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
I'm taking the piss, Alan. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm very good. The yikes intro still gets me. I'm big on it. I do the little yikes, yikes in the background a lot. I think it's a lot of fun.
It's hard not to.
Yeah, it's good. How you been, mate? How's your week?
Yeah, good. Chill. Obviously, school holidays. Went our first camping trip with my two-year-old down to Cumberland River, just on the other side of Lawn, with Hardy and Joel and their boys, and Ainsley, I should say, as well, and girls. And that was a lot of fun to get out into a swag with Theo and test the waters, so to speak. Yeah, it was a good time. What about yourself?
That's awesome. Yeah, good week. Good week. Just I'm finally back to full strength, I think, after a pretty large weekend for myself. Grand final weekend's a decent, that's a decent day. And I might have had, went to the Storm game on the Friday night as well, the prelim. Went out there with my brother and some people and had, yeah, a couple more bevvies than I anticipated having the day before grand final day. But then, I don't know. The good thing about grand final day is, for me, it never really extends too far into grand final night. So, it wasn't too bad.
There you go.
Big day, early night, lots of sleep and chill Sunday. But, no, we're coming back. We're doing good.
Good job.
Long week at work, but, yeah, it's pretty good.
Did you tip Brisbane?
No. But I did by proxy. So I was certain Geelong would win, and I told anyone who cared that I'm always wrong every year. Like every year of the grand final, I'm like, well, this team's better, and every year I'm wrong. So I've stopped betting on outcomes for sure because I'm always wrong. And yeah, I'll let people know that Geelong's going to win, but I'm wrong. I never, I can't say, if I said Brisbane won, then it might be a different story, but I said Geelong will win, but I'm wrong. How about you?
Yeah, look, I don't, not a gambling man, I don't have anything to do with it, never kind of throw a cheeky punt anywhere in my life. But no, I guess Geelong were favourites and rightfully so, but Fakes is just a bit of a masterclass with the old coaching book, isn't he? And playing like Lachie Neale off the sub and, anyway, it was just like written in the stars by the looks of things.
Yeah, the Lachie Neale sub thing was pretty crazy. Because yeah. It was just like, what are you doing? And then he's like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You're like, obviously he's not good to go. And he's like, he'll be fine. And it was the Geelong guys that couldn't pull up. And Lachie Neale's like, what if I just get like 20 touches and a goal in the second half? You're like, what? Yeah. So, yeah, wild. Didn't really understand what was going on in the second half, but Brisbane just too good again.
Yeah.
Nice. I had a weird thing, though, on the weekend. This was strange. I think it was on the Sunday, and I dropped the missus off somewhere and grabbed something to eat on the way home, and everything was fine, and then all of a sudden it tasted real funny. Like, it was so salty, and what I think happened was that the tears from Patty and Timmy Bohan were so strong and so salty that when I was listening to the tea off, it affected how my food tasted. I think that's what happened. That was so, so salty. And for some reason, it just made my food taste even better. Did you have a listen to the latest episode or the tee off?
I did. You throw me with the run sheet. I didn't know where you were going with this segment. Look, I had to. I skipped. The chapters were good. There was a chapter in there, according to Spotify, that I could jump to. The debate around Australia's best ever round, I think, is how AI generated the chapter's name. And yeah, it caught me off guard, Alan. I didn't know this take was coming. Did you?
Nah, I wasn't in the MPO chat, so I didn't really see what they had said. They must not have really thrown their weight around in it.
No.
But, yeah, they were real against what we did.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, obviously we want to make everything in it, everything a laugh, but that was just farcical, Alan, and we're taking the piss.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently. I feel like if they played it, I don't know if they'd feel the same way. Like, it was fun to play. I think that's the part that anyone who might not have been there might have missed. But it was fun to play that type of tournament. But yeah, they hated it. They thought I shouldn't be doing it. And it's silly, and it just doesn't count. They were so mad that it took over Dylan's highest ever round of a 1082
on an 11-hole course.
And that's the problem. Like, they obviously don't remember that shitty course that we played for Dylan to get that 1082.
Yeah,
I'm like, that didn't count either. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. It was funny because, like, if you weren't there, the way I kind of went about it in the chat, and maybe the version that Parrish may have told them as well, was just like that we were some like mastermind puppeteers that like created this crazy phenomenon where David Perry is the best player in the fucking country. Like, the best player in the country decided to come and play, and guess what? He's pretty fucking good. And therefore, he smoked the field on an impossible course and got rated highly.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it shook out.
I know. It's not like we rigged it or anything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, crazy.
But do you know what it reminded me of straight away? Ezra Aderholt. Ezra Aderholt at Worlds on the Beast this year. The course record was -9. And then on round two, he just pulled out a -14.
Yeah.
And it did not go 1100 rated. It ended up shaking out at 1095. I have it open here, and you can find a bunch of articles online about it being the best ever round in disc golf history. And one of the things that struck me about Tim's take was like, now we have to live with this as Australia's best ever round. I just want it to be like on the record that I am not saying that David's 10 under at Bald Hill is Australia's best ever round. Yeah. I am saying it is comfortably the highest ever rated round by an Australian. And I hope it gets rated higher after the – I hate the month that we're in. We have to wait so long for an update for the ratings to lock in. But I'm not saying it's the best ever round. I'm just saying it's the highest ever rated round, and good luck beating it. A non-invitational 3 will be your next best chance to outrate that.
Yeah, we say by a mile, but we did look it up. So Dylan's was 1082, which is, what would we say, 5 strokes off, 5 points off. But Bainey has a 1081, and this is a real round. Like, this was at Champs, that real fucked up round. Was where he just hit every putt. It was so gross. So round two at Aussie Champs, if you haven't seen it in 2023, go on to Park Media and check it out, because Bainey was cooked, and that is the best round of disc golf that an Australian has ever played, I think.
Yeah.
Dill had some pretty high ones as well, but even Dill had just more trash in his thing. So he's got a New Zealand Nationals at 1050. Which is quite nice. Don't get me wrong there. But then, like, Barwon Valley Bash at a 1043. Like, what are we talking about here? So, I don't know. And then the one that they were talking about, the Vic Open from 2024, that round only rated at 1032.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That one was pretty crazy, too. I'm surprised that's not higher. But, yeah, people need to relax a little.
Yeah, that's the system. But I don't know. Like, this is what I'm open to, Alan. All right? Like, we're open to feedback. And people, obviously, I shared it via socials, and we've got some fans, as we know. Our listeners are behind us. But I'm already looking forward to the next episode of the Tee Off, because they put it out there and they said, can't let us know. What do people think? And, like, maybe people are, like, saying shit behind our backs, Alan. Maybe it's not just the Geelong boys.
Oh, I'm sure it will. Like I said, I think, if you didn't play it, and especially if your take is coming, like, the when you're hearing it is coming from the salty tears of the Tee Off boys, then and they're your people, you're going to be like, yeah, it's right, that's bullshit. Bringing the game into disrepute.
We're taking the piss, Alan.
taking the piss out of disc golf. Like, what are we doing? So, yeah, I'm sure they will get a lot of positive affirmation. just as we get positive affirmation on ours. That's kind of how the world works nowadays. Everyone lives in a little echo chamber of just circle jerk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sure. I look forward to it. Yeah. I look forward to it.
And for any of our listeners out there who are like, Chris and Alan are off base here. They have brought the game into disrepute. Just let us know. Let us know. Make yourself known. I'm curious to know who amongst us takes this game way too seriously.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, we got a new segment concept from Dazzalinko. So he sent us a message and he goes, "Hey guys, how about you put it out there for people to nominate, you know, themselves, I would assume, but either potentially other people, as who is the best thrower of a specific disc in Melbourne." And I thought, it's sick. Great idea. I love that. We want people to big note themselves and send in some stuff, and then we'll probably tear them down because they're full of shit. And I instantly had to think about what I would submit as my disc that I would be the best thrower in Melbourne at. And my first thought was the Buzz. And then I was like, nah, Ryan Deere does that a lot better than I do. So I'm sure there's others, but I can instantly, like, he threw a Buzz at the Vic Open in Bendigo on
normal hole one.
That one too. But even like the downhill hole with that golf green right on the left and the really short basket, the really tiny one.
Yep.
Like, he put that to like a meter.
Yep.
That's good. And normal hole one. It's just any slightly downhill hole and he's like, I can throw this as far as need be. So the Buzz is out.
As far as need be.
Yeah. And I thought,
Does he throw a Buzz saw?
I'm not distinguishing. And then I thought maybe the Trail. But I'm pretty certain that Chu Tran throws a Trail better than I do. So that's sad. But so I don't think I can say the Trail. I don't know. The tempo I really like. I've been throwing that a bit lately. But the only one I would maybe put out there, and I've been doing this for a while, and mostly because a lot of people don't do it, but the Sexton Firebird backhand, I back myself there. I throw them pretty straight and decently far. I like that. So that would be the one I'd have to put up, I think, just because I don't think I have any other options. What about you?
Oh, look, if you had to come to me in my prime, I would have said Nuke OS. Mm. Don't see – well, you don't even see many people throwing nukes, really, but Nuke OS is nothing like a nuke. And so I'd like to say that is a disc of its own. Look, similarly, yeah, I'm scraping the barrel. I'm pretty shit at disc golf at the moment. I'd love to say Buzzsaw. I'm just a buzz guy now. Going to play Ballarat the other day, it's first time I've gone to Ballarat where I've kind of backed myself with a buzz, and I'm like, it just changes that course completely.
Yeah, it's a good buzz course.
Now that you can throw a buzz there, just like every hole, it's like, oh, that's just a fucking buzz.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. I do like throwing a buzz, but Nuke OS, I'm rubbish at now. Destroyers, I'm no good at anymore. I don't really have anything. I used to be handy at the Pig, but I don't even like throwing the Pig anymore. I don't trust myself. No, I'm not very good at disc golf.
You reckon you're the best wizard putter in the game? I think Aiden might putt with a whiz.
Aiden's wizards. Herbo Herbertson's wizards.
Come on. Serious names, though.
Probably got Herbo covered. I don't know if I have Aiden covered. I mean, I didn't take an inbounds five at non-invitational. So maybe I've got Aiden covered.
Dazza put himself up for the Tui, and I've seen him park that on hole 17 at Bald Hill.
That's pretty hard to beat.
It's pretty hard to beat.
That's pretty hard to beat.
I don't know if I've ever seen anyone throw a Tui better than that.
Yeah.
So he might be on the money there. But but yeah, send in your discs. Maybe you've got an AGL dick waddle that's and you're the number one. Like, I'm sure Taryn's got three discs that no one else throws that he's the best.
I'm sure Taryn's got a dick waddle, is I'm sure is what you were going to say.
So he might have some there. I'm trying to think of weird discs. Narada throws that Gorgon.
No idea.
Yeah, he could be Melbourne's best Gorgon thrower. I don't know.
Ruben Berg throws that Chinese one. Oh, the
tactic.
Yeah.
Ruben's got the tactic. No one's even close there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was a good idea. So, send your messages in. Let us know what you think that you are Melbourne's best at. We'll get it out on the pod. And, hopefully we'll have some people say abso-fucking-lutely not.
Yeah.
Because I'm better at it.
Back it up with some facts. So, we're coming at you with Darren's Tui and parking 17 at Bald Hill. So, give us an example of what makes you the best at that disc.
Yeah, for sure. I used to throw old hole. This will be my one. Old hole 10 at Bald Hill before they moved it, and that was my Firebird. I feel like I just fucking ripped that flat, maybe touch Annie, and that was like I love that shot.
I once went 11 down at Stony Creek with a Nuke OS and a putter.
Not bad. There you go. But yeah, send them in. Cool idea, Daz. Thanks for the input.
Yeah.
I'll ask you just off the cuff here, because it came up on at Street League on the weekend. Who is Australia's best putter?
Australia's best putter?
Yeah. I said me, and then they were like, besides you.
Besides you.
And then I sort of threw out Bainey. I thought maybe Bainey is. But then, they were talking about maybe Dill and maybe Dave.
Yeah. It has to be David Perry, I think.
I don't play with any of the NPOs, so I really don't know anymore. That was my thing. I was like, because it was Aiden and Mikey. I was like, you guys have to tell me. I got no idea what any of you pricks do.
So I feel like Dylan is more likely to hit a 25-meter putt than what David Perry is.
Yeah, it is fucked.
But David Perry is just good, particularly between 8 and 12 when the pressure's on. That's when you can kind of that's when you can tell a good putter. It's just under the extreme pressure of trying to hit a 9-meter putt and just it was a little bit of wind or whatever. He's just got a routine. He's got a style, and he's just can be cash. You don't accidentally become a 1,008 rated. Who knows what he's about to be? Thanks to our shenanigans. But I think it'd have to be David Perry. Dylan, I think it's David Perry.
Nah, fair enough. Well, that's what they were saying as well. That's what Aiden and Mike were saying. Yep. We should ask the Park boys, but I do watch a lot of Parked Media, and my answer at the end was no one. There are no good putters in Australia. After watching a lot of Parked Media, just watching a lot of missed putts.
That's true. I know Bainey listens. I just can't get around his little, I don't love his action. His little sidestep, I don't even know how to describe it. The way his back foot comes in but doesn't go past his front foot, something about it makes me uncomfortable.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, so we had Street League on the weekend. We did the Glow one. It was really cool. Dazza had a very very good setup there. He had lights around all the baskets, which just always looks fucking fantastic. He'd come up with a couple of new holes that we never played before. A couple of cool holes. So it was good fun. I didn't love it because it was 16 back nine holes.
Yeah.
And two front nine holes. And I was up against Kaelin. So that's not where I wanted to be. I think the two times I got to throw a buzz, I got two nice birdies. Other than that, I was trying real hard because I don't have a glow trail. So everything else is just shit in my head. So that was tough for me. I struggled. He got one up early. I got one back. And then he got three up pretty quick after that with some couple bad shots and some just trying too hard, too much just going, oh, I need this one because he's going to throw it 130 metres, so I need to throw it at least 100, and then just fucking it. So came back in the end a bit, got it close. It was one up with one to play. And then same deal. It was on hole normal 15, and I was like, I got a driver that I can only throw 90 meters. So it's like, let's see if I can get this one 110 because I have to. And it went trash. So I had a couple putts, long putts that could have made it real spicy, but he had a couple long putts that were fuck so good and so close. They could have made it real not spicy real quick. So good battle, but he was too good, unfortunately. So maybe next time when I got all my real discs, I'll be a chance, but done up there. And I was on the same card with Mikey Hare and Aiden, and fuck, Mikey's good, man. He was playing with like normal discs though. He just didn't have any glow discs, so he put like a couple stickers on it and was just like, I'll just lose them. Like, it was weird. But yeah, he got pretty big early, and then I don't know, missed a couple parts. Aiden came back and ended up winning it, so it was really strange to watch, but good for us. Good Disco Stew takes a win, and then that was all we really had. So
yeah,
Oscar had a good lead on Joel Way and lost it. Jacob and Taryn had a couple up on Honey and Schleff, but lost it. And I didn't really see what was going on with Timmy Ware and Paul Baker, but they beat Tommy Jankar and Alistair Morley. So a 4-1 hiding, and Van Kalen stays undefeated, and Disco Stu remains without a win.
Ouch.
Yeah, tough going. A bit stiff. I will just throw that out there because we lost, but their two fill-ins were their number one and number two players. Just going to put that out there. But anyway, no good. On the other matchup, we had Lionel Putz versus Bacanti's Beans. And Dazza gets it done very handily. 4-up over Leo Dykes. Penn gets his revenge on Chris Scott, who has just been touching him up lately. But 5-up for Penn.
Yeah, whack.
And I'm pretty sure Chris Scott plays glow doubles there every single week.
He's never missed. Pretty sure he was once on a holiday in Fiji and flew home for the glow doubles.
I believe it.
And then went back.
Narada and Carlton Clerk get it done over Peter Chu and Bacanti with all of the ease in the world. So some big, big wins both ways here. Brett Siebel, Matt Mutter get it done over Max Tatz, Jace Wiedner. And Picanti Beans gets one back with Doug Adams and Alex Evans taking care of Josh Smith and Tyler Murphy. So I am not aware of who Tyler Murphy is, but Josh Smith has been every bit a 935 golfer lately. And Doug Adams and Alex Evans are not. So I'm not sure what happened there, but that's a big win. It's
Tyler Josh's stepson?
Oh, could be.
Was there a kid there?
I don't know. It was dark.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure his stepson's Tyler, but I don't know if it's Tyler Murphy, yeah.
Could be. It was slim pickings that night.
But I think Doug had a bit of lip in one of the chats taking down Josh. So I don't know if he's bringing a bit of lip if he's taking down an 11-year-old. I don't know.
True. but yeah, big upset there. So anyway, Lionel Putz takes it out 3-2. So yeah, looking bleak for my boys. But anyway, we all make finals, so we'll figure it out in the last week.
Round win 0, match wins 5, match losses 10.
Only 6 down. We just little losses.
Yeah, well, you didn't lose any of those ones by much. Yeah, but it's not looking good.
We lose all of them though.
Yeah.
And I'm 0-2, so I'm off this week, which is great. We'll probably get our first win.
I don't want to overanalyze this too much, but I'm noticing that Van Kalen is 12 up. Collectively, the other three town teams are 10 down. Should they not be collectively 12 down?
Yeah, I think that's how it works.
So, yeah, there's something to miss there.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it should be a net zero.
Mm.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Don't ask me. I don't know. I'm not even playing this year.
Yeah, I know. Noticed. Exactly. Don't just that. Dazza will just give them both to my team. So shut the fuck up.
This goes to an 8 down.
Doing a great job, Daz. Chris is wrong. But no, it was a great night. The Glow night was always fun. Honestly, yeah, don't never play enough Glow. It's good times. And this is the last week of Glow for the Tuesdays. They're going back to the Twilight ones next week because Daylight Savings shifted.
When did it do that?
Well, sorry, is shifting.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. Is shifting this weekend. Which, am I crazy or is this 2 weeks too late?
I'm confused. I'm surprised it's even upon us.
What do you mean? It is bright as fuck every morning now.
Yeah, that's true. But I like it like that.
Yeah. But that's, they normally, you know, it doesn't, I swear it normally doesn't get this bright in the morning before they make the switch.
True.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but it feels like it's a week or two too late, but I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
And I might even have to get out to a couple of these Twilight ones. I don't do the trivia no more on a Tuesday, so which is pretty sad, but it does free it up.
There you go.
All right, we had Llewellyn's social day the next day, which I did not get to. Well, I could have made it out for, but I did not want to make it out for. Because it was a bit of work. Did you play?
No. That's not something I would do.
Llewellyn's pretty far away for you.
Yes.
You got the stuff up from Alex?
No, I do this every week, mate. I bring up metrics and then forget that Alex messages us.
And for I'm whatever just reason, it's not coming up on mine. I've got the Alex and Chris combo and no love. So, here we go. Found it. What are you remembering?
I'm just remembering that I played a league day on the weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask about that.
Yeah.
But that comes, I always do this, and I don't know if you've noticed, but I always put it in the order in which it was played.
Yes.
And I don't know why, but I feel like I always need to do that. But yours comes after because you played on the Saturday.
Correct. Yes, correct.
So you come after Llewellyn.
Yep, that's how it works.
We had a few big dogs show up for Llewellyn. Ville and Mikey Hare were the two, like, these are the guys that are fighting for that number one spot on King of the Hill if you ever decide to update it. Yeah. And I put them head-to-head in the tipping. I think you might have even asked potentially about it.
I did.
For the thing, and I couldn't split them. And I guess neither could you because you didn't pick one. And it was just an absolute whitewashing. Mikey Hare, no good. So -4 for him, but Ville takes it out with -10, 4 clear of Mike van der Linden in second place. So bit of a weird day there. Mike does that sometimes, though. He just pops off maybe just people underperform and he always finds a way to perform on those days. But
that's a good summary.
Yeah.
Ville played the, I don't know if you noticed, but Ville played the 8 a.m. round and Mikey played the 10:30 round.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure I tipped Ville in your little tipping comp. Because when you gave me 5-5, I was like, yeah, but 5 just doesn't feel like enough value for Ville. I wanted Ville, but I wanted 6 for him.
Doesn't feel like enough value for the guy who wins every social day.
Yeah. Just Mikey had been on a tear, you know.
I know.
Anyway, Mikey, Ville, as we know, big listener, and he was pretty chuffed with the whole thing, and he was watching that 10:30 round real closely, and Mikey was actually 5 down early.
Oh,
like I feel like he might have started like on 16 or 17, and he got his first couple,
gotcha.
And then got a few, and he had all the room in the world and plenty to play.
He would have been at 7 down then.
Yeah, gotcha. At some point, yeah, with a few left, right, and then just went 3 up on those that he had left. And so it looks like an absolute shellacking, but it was real tight real early.
Yeah, that's weird. And now I'm looking at it, he took a bogey on a hole that's Ville eagled. That's not living. So he probably missed that Mando. I think there's a Mando you got to go through on that.
Yeah.
So he probably missed that. That's what's done him in. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can't be taking a five on that hole. That hole's, that's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right, well, blew it. Peter Chu, decent round as well. Chris Scott, Ryan Deere, Aiden Howard, all okay. And a little bit of subpar from everyone else.
Correct.
Div B, not too bad. Not too bad, though. Wayne Hood there with neg three and a few neg twos and stuff after that from Gosney, Schleff, and Max. And a couple boys, Ashbrook is under par, and same with Simon Farrar. So dropped off a little bit after that.
I feel like a few of those guys will feature very well in the handicap. The top of Div B's done pretty solid there.
Yeah, for sure. I'll tell you who didn't. It's fucking Josh Quinn. Plus nine. I had him matched up against Max Tats. You gave me 6-6, and it was a, what was it, 11? Nope. Yeah, 11-stroke victory for Max Tats.
Yep.
Cool. I just messaged Josh after. I was like, yikes. And he's like, yeah, I'm no good there. Like, my best round's like a plus five. I was like, where are you good?
Where are you good?
He gave me an answer, so I might have to, we'll see how it goes. I might
keep that up your sleeve.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like, where are you? What are you doing to me, mate? You're killing me.
I mean, he didn't lose to David Heath on the handicap. David Heath did a little worse on the handicap.
Yikes.
Yep.
What was that? Have you got the scores up yet?
Yeah, so Div C, Div C, Ben Hare. Look, he didn't have a great time at Thrallers Non-Invitational, but he's bounced back here, and he's taken the Div C victory over Emma Winkworth, who is creeping back on the scene. Calling that name out a couple of times recently. Alistair Morley there taking out the podium. But down the other end of said Div C leaderboard, you will find David Heath with the old casual plus 28. With just the three pars trickled in there. Not great.
Not great at all.
Having a quick look at Div Z. Non-members, they're new to the game.
Yeah, nothing.
But Joaquin Wellnick got a birdie on 17.
Big.
Par four birdie as well.
Big. Yeah, we like him. He got the scorch at non-invitational for putting up with that shit for his first ever tournament. So
and he's jumped right in. We love this.
I love it too. Yeah. Good to see. All right, we'll check out the handicap leaderboard. And as you mentioned, Div B doing plenty. Matt Gosney in top spot. And Ash Brooker's not far behind him there. So that was good. Ash might have featured in the tipping, so that could be good for Ash tippers. Ben Hare right up there. Mike Van der Linden right up there. Not much. The first Div A I'm seeing is Dan Verrawley. In 17th place. Peter Chu, in 13th. So, not so good for Div A, but not too bad for the mids. So, well done. The tipping, just mentioned, I had, we had the Thrallers Guarantee, Max Tats, Josh Quinn. Max Tats, a fairly well-backed player. So, I guess a lot of people knew what I did not. And the Ville Mikey one, Mikey was the pretty good favorite, just off the back of his billion under round at, what's the name? Non-invitational, I guess. But, social day, not a PDJ event. So we should know. Ville smoked it. He backed himself in, so good on him. He backed himself and Max, and that was the only ones he got right. Jolt versus Doug. So Jolt right at the tippy top of the chump ladder, and Doug on it, but not that high. And I guess Doug took that personally. So he got it done, and it was probably 50-50. So well done to Doug tippers. And this I'm like... filthy on. Matt Gosney versus Ash Brugas. They go 1-2 in the fucking handicap results. Both of them put out their best round of the year, probably. And Matt Gosney gets it done, which I tipped Ash. Almost no one else did. No, sorry, almost everyone else did. There was only a handful of people who went with Matt Gosney. And I think it's right to be fucking dirty on that. Yeah, how do you pick the guy who comes second in the handicap to play great on that day just to get rolled by the guy who came first in the handicap? Like, fuck. But it looked like a good battle. I was keeping an eye on that. And, yeah, Matt Gosney gets it done by one stroke. Only one bogey. Neg two, not bad. And Ash Brugas did himself no favors with a double bogey on hole 12. So... Mm-hmm. Anyway, just let me down once again. A draw for Carlton Clerk and Levi Norton. So that was a good one there. One player picked the draw, Taryn.
Big.
Emma Wigworth, Roland Weber. Emma's been playing a fair bit lately, and that's why I sort of got her into this matchup and why I tipped her. And a lot of people have been paying attention because a lot of people tipped her, and she came through with the goods. Tim Ware never showed up, so fuck you, Tim. And then Dan Frawley versus Div B's best scorer, and I'm real proud of this because it was a draw. I didn't tip it, but I'm proud that I picked the matchup.
Yeah,
I need to just if I do this again, I need to just always pick a draw.
Yeah,
because I think it's the only one that's gonna be close. But Vinja did. And got themselves 3 points on that. So well done, Vinja. So two draws and two people did pick him. So good to see.
Well done, Vinja. He's the bloke that started with
a zero round one. Yeah, exactly. So I must apologize to people. I kind of just forgot that it was a Friday and that I normally do it on the Thursday, but I had a busy day. And then I was heading straight to the Street League thing, and I just forgot. So it's straight up on me, and a few people, including my old man who had a cry about it, did not tip.
He did have a cry about it.
Yeah, because right. It didn't cost him top spot, but
it's closed the gap.
Yeah, that hurt. Well, he had already lost top spot, so it increased the gap for him. But
yeah,
not too many people tipped well, so it could have been a one for him. But anyway, and I think. Yeah, I think we'll come up with a bit of a... We're just going to run this out for the rest of this social season because I don't think there's that much left in it anyway. But I think next year I'll find a way to get some prizes. I think I've already figured out a sneaky way to get some prizes going for this. And what we'll do to keep it interesting is we can have... You know, we'll do it on the social season. So, half a year. But I'll also keep track of who had the highest score in each individual round, and there can sort of be two leaderboards, so the overall leaderboard and then this next one, and if you win one you can't win the other, so it's not like, because the person who wins the most overall probably wins, but I think that'll help keep people in it, so yes, people like cool. Chris Reynolds that are
thank you
right in down 80. The bottom.
Yep.
You still have that hope to maybe get yourself a little something by
tip 8 1 week, yeah. Get a prize.
Yeah, boom. Yep. Something like that. So I'll have a think about how that goes down. I'll look over this thing, but all right, what do we got? The Pro Tour went to the MVP Open, which is always good fun. It's a beautiful one to watch and quite enjoyable. How did it go down as you saw it, Chris?
I said last week that it's just definitely that event that if I had all the money in the world, I would just like up and go watch it because it just looks like an awesome venue to be at and experience disc golf. And it was ring-a-ding-ding, wasn't it? Just absolute fire across the board. It was some really good shooting by some really good players. And Cole Darlin's just like on one at the moment, and he just found himself neck deep in it early. But a couple of names found themselves on top. Nathan Queen pops off. He always just randomly pops off once a year, doesn't he?
Real random. Just to remind people, he's like, I'm still pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think that they just like it. That he must love it that every time he does pop off. Like, remember when he won the Tour Championship like 4 years ago?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, fuck it, that's right. You never forget.
Yeah. But, yeah, some more familiar names going into the lead card round two with Gannon Burr up there, Cole Radalen, like I said, and Simon Lizotte on his home track. Round two happens. Simon not as warm. Gannon Burr goes minus 10. Ricky Wysocki goes minus 12, 10.97. So he's got David Perry covered there. And Cole just still hanging around. After round three, there was a bit of a gap forming. Cole goes minus 12 with a 10.97. Gannon goes minus 10, and then it's four shots back to Ricky. So a bit of a two-horse race going into the final day. Did you watch the final round at all?
Nah, I saw bits of the last few holes. It was sort of an awkward time for me.
But Cole's ice in his veins.
I missed the crucial hole. Yeah. So, like, I was watching it a bit before work, and then we were sort of about to start work, and I couldn't watch, and then I watched again. So, I missed the crucial holes, but yeah.
So, Gannon Burr gets a birdie on 14, big. They both then birdie 15, sick. Cole then laces the Kevin Jones hole, 16, to, like, 2 meters to get the birdie. Right after, like, you know, he's back of Gannon at the moment, and Gannon's just had a greasy one that he shanked off to the right, but it's got all the way down to circle two with a clean look. So all the pressure in the world, he just laces that drive straight down the middle to 2 meters, and that levels it up. They then go to the hardest hole, hole 17, which they've pushed the tee back a mile on that, and Cole, again, just pipes. Like, no one's birdieing that hole. And everyone's taking big numbers on it, and Cole just pipes it to primo position, and Gannon hits like first available, and somehow gets into position to save par, but then misses the putt, and Cole from the exact same range does not miss the putt, gives himself breathing room going into the 18th, and this is where like debates have unfolded. They've opened up like. On 18, they've extended that river, essentially, that OB zone right before the green.
Mm-hmm.
And because he had shots to play with, the commentators were all like, lay up. I've since watched it back on Jomez as well to see how Jomez would commentate it. Jomez were like, he's laying up. It'd be dumb not to lay up.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when he went for it.
Yeah, and just bang, went for it, nailed it, lays up the 7 meter putt and takes the victory. What a huge win.
How did you read that in this situation? Like, what? Why would he not lay it up?
So, it's a big river. And, like, what he said post-match, which I kind of believe, I agree with, he's just like, what am I going to do? Like, throw a 20-meter shot so then I can throw a 40-meter shot? Like, what if I fuck that 40-meter shot? Like, I'm just going to throw the 60-meter shot and hit it. He also, like... He definitely piped it into the back wall. And so the rule, you do get to have the James Proctor putt if you cover cross the green. And so he definitely launched it at that back wall and hit the back wall. So I think like his miss was miss long, take the Proctor putt for the win. And then a miss would have got him into a playoff. So he was just like, I'm hitting all my lines. I'm hitting all my shots. Like, obviously, he's played. What did he end up playing? Like a 1080 event? Like, he dominated. And so he's like, 10-7-6 event. So he's just like, was feeling himself. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to hit this. Bang.
Sick. Nah, that's cool. Yeah. That's big. Was that his? Nah, he's had a win before. Yeah.
Yeah, he won a couple of years ago. Forgotten what it was called.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But yeah, winning a big four round event against Gannon Burr is, no joke. Ricky there, but just not there. This is I guess he's got they count the Tour Championships, so he's got the Tour Championships and the USDGC to count as a win for this year. But this is one that maybe could have got away.
Who'd you tip?
I had Eagle McMahon, who went trash, amazing, average, average. Yep. And that gets you 16th. You?
I had Isaac Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Who went trash and then got going.
Yeah.
Got going, and round 3 and 4 was pretty big for him. And got 4th.
Big. Yeah,
big in the tipping comp. 70-point lead going into the final event. I'm feeling pretty good.
You'd be feeling pretty shit if you had Simon Lizotte.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because what, he was lead card or chase
he
card?
He was second. No, he was second after second round 1.
Second place.
Yeah.
And does not make cash.
Yep.
Intense.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Real shame the leader of the comp tipped him.
Yeah.
and real shame the bloke in third also tipped him. That's just real shame. Real unlucky, I guess.
Real unlucky. That is pretty stiff. It would catapult you to pretty clear on top, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. With one round of play and a stud in your arsenal.
Yeah, with Calvin, who might actually win it, you know. I think Calvin's going to take it down.
He might.
And own Scoggins as well in the FPO. I'm feeling pretty safe.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
What's in Nathan Queen also not make cash? That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's wild. In the FPO, Missy's just up and about. Back-to-back wins? Nah, she lost in the playoff. But I feel like she had a win maybe real recent. But yeah, I think she won this tournament last year as well. So 4 strokes clear of silver. And Holland finally as well getting a bit of juice. She's been off lately. So good to see her back up and about. Still pretty far off. I think she might have had a lead though going into the final round.
T lead maybe? No, yeah. She had the lead. No, she had the lead by 3 strokes.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah.
So that's a tough one to choke away. Hayley King with her, 4th tournament of the year and her 4th top 5.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with her. I don't know why she doesn't play, but when she does, she's still so fucking good. I had Cadence Burge in this one for 9th place. You?
I had Kat Murch for her 9th place.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Wasn't catching you there then.
No.
Week off, and then USDGC?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So that'll be good fun, but yeah, we'll get to that when we get to that. How was your Ballarat social day on Grand Final Saturday?
Metrics was broken.
Yeah, what was going on with that?
Don't know. It was down for, hours. So, yeah, anyway, went out there early, played around with Parrish and Pacanti, and we played island versions of the holes, and we quickly discovered that Vic Park Yellow is much easier than Bald Hill. Yeah, there's just too many par threes that are, hard to bogey on a good day, right? Hard to bogey on it, even on a windy day, because it's just, you can get off the tee and you get up and down. And so there was just a lot of that and a few birdies to be had. I started 4 through 4 or something silly when we were doing it.
That was pretty crazy.
That was pretty good. And so, yeah, I think I finished +2 or something using island version or something, and then I scored it the same way during the league day, and I think it only shook out to be a +8 or a +9, and that was windy, and I wasn't playing very well. So if we go with an island version there at some point in the future, we're going to have to look to find more score separation. I'm sorry, Tim, but we will be looking to generate some score separation on holes as to inflate ratings, because that is fun. Anyway, I had a sick card. No, because Metrics was down. I didn't even know what my card was. And Vil, because he's a big listener, was listening to our pod, heard that I was going to play, and was like, sweet, there's a league day in Ballarat. Those Estonians froth disc golf. So they were late sign up. So it was nice to see them. And that was my card. I had Vil, I had Parrish, and I had Ash Wiedner.
Big.
Sick card. And yeah, it was pretty flat. It was pretty windy. And -6s by me and Vil were the hottest scores of the day, which is not very good.
Oh, really? That was the best anyone had. No shit. That was
best. Yeah, best anyone had.
Yeah, wow.
Anyway, so Marlon's since gone and putting the scores in. You'll notice there you got Nathan Parrish, and this is Vic Park Yellows with a neg one. You're reading that correctly. That is a tie with Ash Wiedner. pretty crazy.
Four contest.
Yeah, but yeah, fun was had. Well done, Glenn Rolston, minus five. Simone takes out the handicap. Ash Brooker's pretty good on the handicap, and M Ward on the podium there for the handicap. Anita Weber doing well as well. She's definitely on the improve. But down the other end, I'm sure you're going to find names like myself, Parrish, Ville. I got both of them covered. That's nice. I wasn't too bad myself. A few played worse than me, but yeah, neg six. You set a line. Obviously, I was chasing
neg seven neg and eight. A half. Yeah.
Yep. Chasing neg eight. I was just keeping it alive. Starting on a hole five, got a couple, then went par, 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 par for ages. Got 11, got 13, got 16. I was like, oh, if I just get 17 or 18 with some four easy ones to play, I might get this. And anyway, I bogeyed 18, which is problematic. I threw it over the path.
It's tough to do.
Tough to do on 18. And yeah, bang. That was it.
There you go. Yeah, well, when you started your practice thing and you went four through four, I was like, God damn it. Because I was like, that's exactly what I was like. The last time you went there, you shot like 12 down. I was like, fucking seven. Psh. I was like, what an idiot. And then, yeah, what's your other round? I was like, never mind.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up. So, no points for either of us this weekend. So, we'll have to find some gold at Werribee on the weekend. Are you playing?
I'm not signed up. I'm unlikely to play.
Yeah. No, I'm not making it either. I got I got stuff on my niece's birthday. And I missed the last one because of something, so I got to get at this one. And it'd be, I feel like my team will do better at Street League without me. I think that might be the nice morale boost, not having me there.
There you go.
I'm old too.
You're a good guy.
I'm just letting him down. But there are plenty of big names because of the Street League. It is chock-a-block, so plenty of good stuff to choose from. Who do I know that's good at Werribee? There's no Sam Story on the name. Does he play anymore?
I don't know.
I haven't seen his name in a bit. What do we like? Emma Winkworth, up and about. Let's see what I can find for her that might make life spicy. What about just Emma to take out Div C?
I'll give you Jeepers Creepers. I'll give you six for that.
Six to take it out.
Yeah.
And four not to.
Yeah.
All right. What else? I'll little squeeze around, see what else we got. I may look at something a bit more in the understandable mark. We got Ruben Berg playing. I'm not gonna run back the Ruben versus Dazza one. We'll leave that for now. Ruben versus because I don't know who I'd pick on that. All right, never mind. We'll skip Rubes. Have you got anything that jumps out at you?
I did. I had a Carey Edwards versus the Bald Hill Pest, Doug Abbotins.
We've got to have Werribee, not that long, but a bit of forehandy. Carey's got to be four. He's better than a five. I just don't think he's a seven. Four yep. Carey, six Doug.
I hear
you. I'll let that one go. What about Chu Tran and Glenn Rolston?
Where's Glenn? 892, 880. I will 5-5 that.
High five it. Yeah, that's good. I'll stick. I'll just go with Emma. No, I'll take the four. I think. I think that's too good a value in Div C.
It is. It really is. You'd be silly. You'd be silly not to take the four. Similarly, I'm gonna take the carry four.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yep. All right, we're both going low numbers here. This is the first time I think we've probably ever done that.
We never go for, like, we always look for a six or a seven. Yeah. Like, somehow the underdog will always get up.
Yeah, every time. We haven't had a hit in it. We both haven't had a hit in it, it feels like, in a minute. So, there we go. All right, cool. Just need anyone else in Div C to fire up. That'd be good. Charlotte Davies, because they've got plenty of good names. So, it could happen. And then, I need Dougie Boy as well. That'd be good. All right, we got some Spotlight Not Light.
Of course.
This probably falls under a grievance rather than anything else. I should look at that. I didn't write it down, so this is a miracle that I remembered it. But I was meant to watch the video, so I had some context on this. But I didn't.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Nate Parrish just sent me the video of the 2025 New South Wales Disc Golf Open at Rathmines Lake Macquarie. So, and hole 17 in particular is apparently a spike hyzer over the trees into a rock island.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so he's pretty disappointed in that.
Yeah.
So I'll have to check that video out. But yeah, that sounds like a not light for mine. I didn't realize it was a Matt Rathmines. That's cool. I think I've lost my Rathmines Nationals top. So I don't know where that's gone. But if anyone has a 2014 Rathmines Nationals top that's not theirs, I know you've got one, Taryn, but... if someone's got one that's not theirs, it's fucking mine. I don't want it back.
Yeah.
Someone I've probably stayed with. I feel like someone, and I lost a couple of things. I reckon someone steals my shit when we go on these trips.
Because you've lost the West Side hoodie or something.
Yeah. Someone's got that. Like, where would that have gone? But yeah, anyway, that and my, that used to be my Tiger Woods shirt. So anyway, I digress. Have you got any spotlights or not lights?
Yeah, I've got a not light here from Pakanti, which I'll go with as well. But he's like, can you not light the fuck out of the tee off, boys? For diminishing, this is the part I want to get on the back on, for diminishing the difficulty of day's round. Like, it was 1087. Yes, we inflated it. But gosh, is that so good? It is just, it was such good under the conditions, so good under the conditions to do that. And he also felt a bit of a grievance that they were insulting the amateurs for being idiots for donating their points, which I don't really think the tee off were given that vibe, but that's what Aaron thought. The tee off were given that vibe. And so they wanted us to not like the tee off boys. And yeah, I didn't say it before, but yes, they can be disgruntled and salty, as you have highlighted, but it actually was a really good round. It was a really good round of disc golf by David Perry, the best player in the country.
Yeah, him and Mikey shot so many strokes more than the next best.
Yeah.
Way better than the next best. So.
Yeah.
Nah, fair enough. Good call, Pagansi.
Yeah.
I don't have anything written down, so I don't know. Lean Week. What's his name? Got a really nice ace. Eagle got a really nice ace.
He aced the one that AB aced in warm-up.
Which
kind
of ruined it.
Under the radar. I was that's a
been,
sick ace.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's why I didn't sort of worry too much about it. But, yeah, it's still a very nice ace. It's a cool shot. Other than that, nothing really jumped out at me this week. You?
I'll go non-disc golf related and give Outdoor Boys on YouTube a shout-out. Just for having endless content of stuff that I can just kill some time when I'm stuck in a nap trap with an infant. Outdoor Boys on YouTube, if you have not gone down that rabbit hole and you are a fan of camping, survival, or anything related, check out Outdoor Boys on YouTube.
Outdoor Boys. All right.
Yep.
Sounds good. Cool. That's all we got. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.